On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh yes it is. Don't argue with me. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Known to others as the Ron Van Dam Show, but to you as the Ron Van Dam Show. Pleasure to have you here. Thanks for stopping by. Picking up a sandwich? What are you doing? What are you doing? Loaf of bread? What are you here for? Oh, to listen to the show. That's nice. It just so happens by coincidence that I have a wonderful show planned for you today. It'll start with a cocktail. What would you care for? Oh, that's exotic. Okay, hold on. Let me make it for you. Here you go. There you go. Take a sip. Go on. I know. Would you like a shrimp cocktail? Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense. What we do is we take some shrimp, some divined shrimp, and we stick them in a cocktail glass. We put cocktail sauce in it. And there's no cocktail. It's just freaking shrimp in a glass with cocktail sauce. And why do they call it cocktail sauce? There's no cocktail involved here. It's seafood sauce or whatever. A cocktail sauce. Why are you doing that to us? You get us all excited. You want a shrimp cocktail? Whoa, yeah. Vodka? Gin? No, there's no... It's not that. It's just shrimp in a glass with some red shit in it. I'm sorry. That's enough. I do have a very interesting show. I do. I have a guy named Josh on the show, and to you, that means nothing. It meant nothing to me at a point. And then I found out that the man is incredible, but has been screwed royally. And that's actually the most accurate phrase I can think of. He's been screwed royally. It's not sexual, no. It has to do with royalties and being screwed. He's been screwed. How much am I going to use that word in the explanation of this guest? A lot, apparently. He has been done wrong by the government. Oh, how often does that happen? Never? Give me a break. We're going to hear Josh's story. It's going to astound you. It's a little bit of an extended interview. We're going to do this later on in the program, not too long from now. It's an incredible story, and I don't know. Kids can listen, I suppose. Often when I do this show, in the back of my mind, I'm figuring kids should not be within like 500 miles of this program somehow. You really need to send them off to summer camp or to some other country for an extended journey, maybe the Himalayas, something, but they should not be around this show. And then I figure, well, I don't curse really, ever. The subject matter is a little tender for the child's ears, the auditory vessels. But at the same time, the child needs to grow up. We need to educate this child. So I'm kind of split on this, but I still prefer you get the children away only because we don't need them around all the time, do we? you know, eventually they're going to go off on their own and get their own apartments that they can't afford. And, you know, that's the natural occurrence of things. So you might as well set them up for the truth. I think that should start happening at 2 months old when they can't understand what the hell you're saying. Tell them the truth at that point. They won't be able to remember it. They don't understand English. You could be from a foreign country. It doesn't matter. At 2 months old, they don't know what the hell's going on. They're not even sure what the thumb-sucking thing is. They don't know what the hell's going on. That's when you should be honest with them about everything. Then when they get older and they start to understand, that's when you start lying. But prior to that, tell them the truth. Kids can handle a lot more than you think. Yeah, when they're lying on their backs in their little cribs, playing with those little sparkly things and hitting them with their feet and their hands, that's about as intelligent as a human being really gets. That's about it, really. I mean, I know we grow up and we learn to drive and we get married and we make decisions, but basically just playing with those things hanging in the crib is really all we're doing. It's not much more than that, really, when it comes down to it. We're all insecure. If we could all suck our thumbs 24 hours a day, we'd have no thumbs left. But you can't, because it's not socially acceptable. People don't get dates when they suck their thumbs. I'm sorry. That you should know by now. Yeah, have we matured? No, not really. Not really. The only way we mature is out of embarrassment. Oh, if you don't do this, the people are going to think you're crazy. Okay, I'll start doing that then. That's the only reason. It's not because we really want to. We always revert back to our childhood tendencies. Oh, yeah. Come on. You know we could. You'd pee your pants if you could. But it's not socially acceptable, and you have to wash them, and you got to clean up after yourself. It's really not a good idea. Okay, but still, I could do this. And somehow, when you're in the forest, have you been in a forest before? You people in the city, you urban people, do you even know what a forest is? You've seen pictures, haven't you? It's when trees gather. Have you ever been in the forest, and you're walking around, you know, and you know, you don't have that many clothes on. It's the middle of the summer, and you're walking around, and you can't see anybody at all. You're all alone. Men, what do? You take it out and you pee. That's what you do. And boy, do you feel refreshed, independent, and like you're the king of the world, like you're Tarzan or something. And women, if you could whip something out, you would. You don't have as many whipping utilities as men do, but if you did, you'd do it. Because no one will see you, so there's no embarrassment. And it's just nature. Nature cleans itself up. You can pee in the woods and walk away. I mean, it's not like a chipmunk's going to run up and go, hey, excuse me, this is where I live. Doesn't happen. They want to say that to you, but they can't talk. You know that. Isn't it interesting how animals can only make noises? They can't really talk to you. They can't form words. They can form sounds, but not words, so to speak, that we know of. But we can, and yet we're not really that much more advanced than a chipmunk, so doesn't make much sense, really, does it? No. And why is it when human beings talk, the immediate reaction is, will you please shut up? Yeah, because we abuse what we have. That's the human trait. We abuse what we have. We are given these miraculous abilities. And what do we do with every single one of them? We abuse the hell out of them. We abuse our speech, our atmosphere, our planet, our relations. We abuse everything. We abuse other people in order to get ahead. How are you going to get ahead? I got to knock these people out of the way. They're in my way. It's crazy. You know I'm right. People don't talk about this. Do you know why? You don't want to face this. No, you don't want to. I don't want to face that either. All right. How you doing? was driving around yesterday. So all there is left to do is drive around. And I noticed a multitude of Amazon trucks. And all of a sudden I realized Amazon has taken over the world. What a huge freaking company this is. I thought Microsoft was bad. And they are. They're in every corner of my life. Every time I go onto that stupid thing, that internet thing, which is always, can't survive without it, especially now with the pandemic. You got to educate the kids on the internet. It's Microsoft. They got to go, man. They can have your babies if they want to. Amazon, it's the physical Microsoft. They're everywhere. Everywhere. Now the trucks are becoming prominent to the point where I see more Amazon trucks than I see UPS trucks, and that's a lot. I see more Amazon trucks than I see mail trucks. I'm seeing Amazon distribution plants, these gigantic, gigantic buildings, the size of a city sometimes, popping up all over the place. And when there's no pandemic and all that kind of stuff, you can get everything tomorrow. Everything tomorrow. It's faster than I can get sex, by the way. Hey, you want to have sex? Maybe Thursday. I'll deliver sex to you on Thursday. Amazon's faster. They have everything. There's that third-party stuff. I don't know where the second party went. We go from direct contact to a third party. I haven't been to my first party. All I've had is a shrimp cocktail. That's it. You know, it's not just shrimp cocktail, by the way. It's fruit cocktail, too. Yeah, there's a fruit cocktail. There's no alcohol involved. Stop it. You know, when you're really sick and you're in the hospital, the doctors put together a cocktail for you. It's a cocktail of medicines. They call it a cocktail. And I guess it's a good way of disguising it. The nurse will come into your hospital room. It's time for your cocktail. Oh, fantastic, man. It's 5:00. I can use... No, I mean your pills. We've taken various pills and put them into one thing. We call it a cocktail. You people are screwed. Stop doing that. Don't call it that. Don't call it that, please, anymore. It's not a cocktail. I've had a cocktail. That's not a cocktail. I've told you this before so many times that I'm getting sick of this, but you put anything in a martini glass and you're good. You're good. You got to take a certain number of pills every day. The older you get, the more pills. Put them in a martini glass. Yeah, then it's okay. That's all right. Yeah, I told you. That's the only way you know how old somebody is. You don't ask them their age. You ask them how many pills they take on a daily basis. That's how you know how old they are. I'm telling you, it's true. For the most part, it's true. So I'm driving around and I'm seeing all these Amazon trucks. They're all over the place. Everybody's getting an Amazon. At my house, my place of worship, I call my house my place of worship, by the way, for no other reason than that's what they call it. They call it their house of worship. I said, well, this is my house, and I guess this is my house of worship. I don't worship in it, but it's a sanctuary, so yeah. It's come to the point there are so many Amazon packages that I get that when one comes to the door, my significant other, my lady, will actually say, oh, what is that? I said, you ordered it. You don't know what it is? No, I don't. I don't remember. But it was yesterday that you ordered this. But I don't remember. I don't know what this is. I think people just order from Amazon in order to extend Christmas to the point where this truck is going to bring gifts, bearing gifts to my front door and it shall be a surprise until I open the gift. And I don't have to deal with any thank you cards or you don't send a card to Amazon and say, thank you for the gift. It's not a gift. You paid for it. You bought it. You just don't remember what it was, or you order so much, you don't know which one it is. Sometimes people are actually surprised. They'll open up the box and I don't remember ordering this. Okay, now we have a problem.
I don't remember ordering this.
Yeah, but you did.
I guess I did. I must have ordered a long time ago.
What do you mean? It was Thursday. And this is Saturday. What do you mean a long time ago? Did you like my voice of other people?
Yeah, I don't remember this.
That's my voice of other people. I only do two voices. I do a confused female.
I don't remember ordering this.
And I do a confused Jew.
What are you talking about? What are you serious about that? Oh, you don't understand. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're crazy. You're just crazy.
I just do confused people. That's all I do. I've got that down, Pat. I don't know what your name is, but I'll call you Pat anyway. All right, my guest Josh is here. Josh is an entrepreneur. You're probably familiar with his product. And when he went to put a patent on the product so that he had exclusive rights, he invented this thing, found out that the government doesn't actually honor that stuff. You'll find this story to be fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. And we call this the fact of the day, because the fact is, when you think you got something going, you kind of really don't. Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
Josh Malone joins us now. Josh is the creator of Bunch of Balloons, which many of my friends have partaken upon and have loved it. This is an incredible story, because we only know the product and the success of a product, but we don't know the backstory sometimes, which apparently, Josh, you've been through a little bit of hell and back.
Oh, yeah, it's been quite the adventure, and I think I'm back, yeah.
Okay, good. Let's start with, for those that aren't familiar with Bunch of Balloons, this was an innovative party idea, and it's doing quite well. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I was a classic struggling inventor, and at the end of a long, long run, mm-hmm. I solved a problem of filling and tying water balloons.
Yes, sir.
And my solution, well, it's a bunch of two small tubes connect. You know, you connect that to the mm-hmm. garden hose. The other end of the tubes have a balloon around each one, and a small elastic ring around the neck of the balloon. Mm-hmm. And so they all fill up simultaneously, and when they're full, you shake it and they fall off, and the little elastic ring clinches the neck of the balloon
shut. Beautiful.
And so you can do 100 water balloons in 1 minute.
Yeah. How long ago was this invention taking place and upon completion of the invention?
This was 2014. Mm-hmm. I put it together and launched it on Kickstarter.
All right. Yeah. And congratulations to you. But as I said at the beginning, we're not always familiar with the process that's involved. We've watched a couple of these things on Shark Tank, these inventions and these ideas, and it always seems quite simple. You get a patent, you apply for it, you wait for it, and there you go. Congratulations. It's not like that necessarily, is it?
No, it's not. And that's what I thought too. I thought I was pretty sophisticated and educated, and if I got a patent, then I could protect my invention and build a business and live the American dream. In fact, under a 2011 Act of Congress, they created a new proceeding, a division in the patent office, and their job, in fact, they basically work for the big corporations, mm-hmm. and they'll invalidate your patent when you try to use it.
Really?
And so this new proceeding, they've now reviewed 3,000 patents, and they've invalidated 84% of them on behalf of these giant multinational corporations.
Wow. Is this a fairly new phenomenon, or has this been going on but people didn't talk about it?
Well, it's fairly recent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I quit my job to be an inventor in 2006, mm-hmm. and that's when it started. The Supreme Court took up a case, and then Congress started to act. And basically, what happened is the Silicon Valley tech companies looked around and said, "Hey, we don't innovate anymore. What can we do to eliminate competition?" And they went to the government, went to the courts, and flipped our patent system upside down. And they started spreading propaganda that that patents harm innovation and that inventors are patent trolls, they called us.
Wow.
And it's very effective. They said, "Hey, we made it up. Let's pull up the ladder so no one can threaten us."
Yeah, we gave it out. We can take it back. Was this done through a lobby effort? Do you think there's something shady going on here, or simply a nothing simple about it, but a convincing that we need to change the system a little bit? It sounds to me like there's a little shady stuff going on with these companies that are so large that they can just pay for anything they want.
Yeah, there's a combination of factors. It's we can get away with it.
Yeah.
And if we can get away with it, then, it's classic federal government stuff. I mean, they don't know what's going on, and the lobbyists convince them that the world looks a certain way. And then they pushed this bill through that had, lots of problems, but the campaign dollars kept flowing in and it came through, and it was worse than people imagined in 2011.
Wow. So you're talking about it to sound the alarm to those that probably aren't familiar with the system.
Absolutely, I've met too many inventors, and in my case, it's a miracle I'm here talking to you today. These guys had such a war chest and experience at just putting rights owners out of business through litigation, and for me to survive and go to Washington and. Yeah. Shake things up at the top of the patent office in the middle of my case. And I was losing everything I worked for. And so it ended up being a publicity campaign, which wasn't really my intent, but it helped turn things around, helped me get through. And most, no other inventors are going to, we don't have government relations department. And so I joined up with, when I needed help, a group called US Inventor, joined me, and now I'm giving back as a volunteer, and I want to help. Yeah. Want to help inventors, startups, small businesses, innovators. This is super important for society. Yeah,
it's interesting because startup businesses always think that once they get the patent, they're good. That's their protection, but that apparently isn't necessarily the case at all. So why would anybody ever come up with an incredible idea and not feel that it would be stolen from them somehow? I mean, does that basically burst their balloon?
Yeah, it's a huge threat. It's caused, guys like me who quit our jobs and give up our paychecks and put our family's financial future at risk and raise capital. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that venture capitalists are now, they know this, and so they're not investing in long term. Yeah. R&D and high risk capital. They're looking for quick returns. So app developers and social media technologies. So the money is going out of hardcore R&D into quick exit, low risk strategies. And inventors, that was part of the deal. Part of the dream is, we're going to crash and burn, and we're going to miss a lot of opportunities. But when we succeed, now these big guys can come along and just say, "Thank you very much. We didn't invest in it. We didn't take the risk. And here you've got this Kickstarter success. Yeah. We'll just take it and put our name on it." Yeah. And it's a very dangerous situation we're in, the incentives have been
absolved,
removed.
Yeah. Would you compare it to a drug company? I don't know what you call these things, pharmaceutical companies. I think that's more proper. They come up with something like Viagra. And it's on the market for a number of years, and then after a number of years, it goes generic, and anybody can make this thing and around the world. Is it similar to that?
It's supposed to be. you know, the we don't like to align too tightly with the drug companies because they also know how to abuse the patent system. Right. But yeah, if you invent something that the world was missing and never would have come up with without your contribution, then we used to give inventors 20 years of exclusive right to it to go and basically that's the bargain. You come up with something new and you share it with the world by publishing it in the patent, and we'll give you it amounted to a property right that basically was a title to your invention. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a drug company that comes up with a new molecule that's effective, and then that's part of the incentive why we have some pretty wonderful treatments and cures. But we don't want to stagnate that, right? The problems haven't all been solved yet either, so we have to keep the incentive for real inventions to move forward.
Yeah, Josh, had this affected the success of your business along the lines, because it's the number one in that category. I mean, has it damaged your financial situation?
We got through. We spent many years where every day it was a threat of just being destroyed. I mean, these guys that stole my invention had succeeded in over a hundred cases they've been involved in with over intellectual property rights, and they had never lost. So we were fortunate. We were able to compete and sell a lot of product globally. We sold almost $500 million in water balloons now with my partner, licensing company. And so we were able to pay these attorneys $100,000 every week. I mean, when I quit my job, that was my annual salary. And now we've got to just plow this money into this litigation. And eventually these guys, after that, plus the publicity I brought to the abuse at the patent office, these guys, after 4.5 years of litigation, they threw up their hands and they said, "We surrender."
Cool. Oh, congrats. Congrats on that,
man. We beat them. Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah. But my God.
It's unfortunate. It had, you know, it had little to do with the merits of my case. And it had all to do with the money and the influence, which is, that's really sad to say that that's the state of our legal system.
You know, what's sad is that they didn't pay you back for your legal fees. I mean, I would figure that that's really something that they should do, because they caused it.
In this case, we got some of our legal fees, but to get legal fees, you have to be in the law. You have to be the prevailing party.
Yeah.
And these cases, you know, it costs tens of millions of dollars and can take 10 years to finish. No one else has ever been a prevailing party against these guys. So they abuse it and they file these frivolous motions and they cheat and steal. And it's catch me if you can. If you can't catch them and bring them to justice through this massive litigation. So, we're the ones that got through it. And it gives me a story to tell and an opportunity to warn others. And, you know, working with the nonprofit to educate lawmakers and we do legal pro bono legal work, and we're just trying to help set right the ship.
Can you, in your capacity, see something that really fascinates you, that you see a very clear path to success? Can you buy that company, or are you in a position to do that, or because what you're doing you can't, or whatever?
That's a great question. There's a lot of opportunities and inventors and startups that I think have very meritorious ideas for products and solutions. And for the most part, the problem is there's no collateral for those investments. In the past, a patent or a pending patent would have been security to invest in. So if the product fails, or they fail at business or a variety of other things, then the investor could hold the patent as to secure the investment. And I'm not, you know, it's hard right now in this environment. My answer is talk to your congressman and if they'll give you a solid patent that I can rely on, then I would love to invest in your startup.
Interesting. Yeah. Of course, a solid patent, you don't know how solid that is ever, do you?
Yeah, well, there was a time when it it was reasonably reliable. The patent system, I know. You know, Edison and Westinghouse had their battles.
Oh,
and,
yeah. But now you say that that's all out the window because anything solid can be reversed.
Right. Easily. Now it's the normal situation instead of the exception. If your invention's valuable, they will steal it and they will litigate you into oblivion.
Unless there's
no reason. It would be bad. It's their fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, why would they pay an inventor when they can just take it? The shareholders don't support that.
Yeah, unless they say, hey, Josh is behind it. Don't mess with him. He won.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because in order to take away power, to win against power, you have to have power. That's the game.
But they've said these are most of the time these infringers are these multi-billion and now $1 trillion companies. Yeah. And they just budget for this. We're going to spend $50 million dollars a year in litigation.
Gotcha.
So we're not going to pay anyone.
Gotcha.
And with the patent office now taking their side, they can just go get the valuable patents eliminated through this patent trial and appeal board.
Well, I'm glad you're on the right side, and what you're doing here is admirable and important because, I mean, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I'm glad that you've opened the door so that people can see what's going on in there.
Thank you for taking an interest. It's so important that we have innovation.
How would someone support this entire cause? How to get more information and actually support?
You go to usinventor.org and sign the resolution. Mm-hmm. We've got a real basic statement of principles that everyone can agree with, but believe it or not, the lobbyists and the lawyers and the politicians, they don't believe in the fundamentals anymore. So usinventor.org, usinventor.org, you can learn more and sign up.
Beautiful. Josh, thank you for your time and continued success to you in whatever you may do.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. Pleasure speaking to you.
Same.
Take care. That is a sad story. That is not a wonderful story. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, we're happiest when we don't know what the hell's going on. Have you noticed that? We're happiest when we don't have to deal with the bull. When we do, we're not the happiest. We're the most frustrated, the angriest. It's true. That's what drives our happiness. It's not thinking about all the crap. That's the definition. Look it up. I used to say look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. Millennials don't know what that means. Webster's Dictionary was a book similar to the Bible, only it had words in it. That didn't make sense. Wikipedia is what you call it. It took the place of a dictionary because we don't open up books anymore, which is cool because books took up so much space. I mean, really. I mean, if you love a book, you don't throw books out. Once you buy a book and read a book, that's part of your personal experience. You don't give that away. But people had no room for books. And yet when you walked into somebody's house, no books. No books. my lady and I call her my lady. We used to go to people's houses. We could always tell how intelligent the couple was by if there were any books in sight in their living room. And it really did make a difference. I mean, yeah. So here's my suggestion to you. Whether you read or not, take a few books and display them. It makes a difference. It really does. And it also is a good feeling. Millennials, you don't understand what the hell I just talked about, do you? Do you? No, you don't. When someone walks into your apartment or house, it's look at that computer system. That's nice. Nice monitor. Wow. It's taken the place of books. Anyway, look it up in the Wikipedia or the dictionary and you'll see that what I'm talking about is true. Happiness is the lack of frustration and anger. It's really, is the glass half empty or half full? I don't know. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All I'm saying is you give me a glass of something. Why is there only half of it? Or, you know, hey, my glass is only half full. Oh, you're an optimist. Fill it up and shut up. It's only half full. Okay, optimist. Hey, my glass is half empty. Fill it up. You're still pissed. You're still pissed that you don't have a full glass, you see. So, optimist, pessimist, what's the deal with not filling it up to the top? I've gone way beyond where I should be time-wise here. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until that time occurs, which is tomorrow, order something on Amazon and surprise yourself tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.